Let's get to our Tallgrass apparel, engaging with the enemy. This week on the Tallgrass apparel, engaging with the enemy, our enemy is not such an enemy itself anymore, but we'll say it's an old friend. Joining us on the line right now is Calgary Stampeders offensive lineman, the 2016 most outstanding lineman of the CFL, Derek Dennis. Bone Crusher, thanks for your time.
What's going on, man? What's going on?
Hey, just having a little bit of fun after the bye week. Before we go back a bit to your time here and you going back to Calgary, I got to ask, it's the biggest story in the CFL right now. Daron Carter released by Chris Jones and the Riders. Now, last year you played with him. Does a move like this come as a shock to you or your teammates at all?
Maybe to other guys, but to me, no, it's not a shocker. I kind of know how the intricacies of things work in that building, and to see it happen, probably the timing probably was a little off. I caught people unexpectedly, but to say that it wouldn't have happened is you wouldn't understand unless you were in that building.
Now, pardon me, and feel free to absolutely shut this down too. I want to pry into that a little bit if I can. Is there anything, not necessarily giving, you know, bad specifics or anything, but is there anything, any kind of light you can shed on that at all?
It's just Jones runs his team a certain way. It's kind of his thing, man. Everybody knows that Jones is he's a very, you know, aggressive coach, and he coaches a certain way, and he wants his team to be a certain way, and regardless of who you are, if you're not fitting his model, then you know he does what he has to do as the head man in charge.
All right. Now, speaking of that, last year the Riders moved you from tackle to guard on the line. What was that like for you at the time?
It wasn't nothing. I was just doing what I had to do to help the team win. They asked me to play guard because they felt like they didn't have anybody else that was going to be good enough to help the position out, and they knew I was a utility guy. They knew it was a guy from 2016. I had started 3 games at guard when I won the award. So it was kind of teams looked at it as a commodity. I remember even talking to Toronto, and Toronto told me that the fact that I could play more than one position was enticing to them because I could help them out in terms of, you know, injuries and ratio or whatever, so be it. So they just asked me to play guard. I was doing what I thought I was doing what I had to do to help the team win. And at that point, you know, we were on a really good roll around that time.
So you win the Most Outstanding Lineman Award in 2016, come to Saskatchewan. Some would say there was a dip in from the Most Outstanding Lineman, but you're back to your old ways being a dominant left tackle. What was the problem in Saskatchewan last year? Would it be schemes or what do you think?
As I alluded to before in the past, man, not every football player fits in every football system. You know, you got coaches who can coach up certain guys. You got coaches who have a scheme that fits certain strengths of a player, and it's just kind of how it is. Sas has a very unique offense, and they like to run it a certain way, and McAdoo is very aggressive about making sure he gets what he wants outside of the offense. So, I mean, it's kind of like any other system. You got to find guys that fit what you do, or you got to find if they can't, you got to find somebody who can.
So moving to the day that you were released here from Saskatchewan, what did Chris Jones tell you?
He didn't tell me anything. I didn't speak to him.
How'd you find out?
I actually found out on Instagram. The news was already out there, and everybody was already printing up the graphics and all that stuff. So by the time I found out, it was already news to It was news to me when everybody else had already knew maybe for about an hour or so. But, I probably attribute that to it. I was in the middle of training, and normally when I'm training, I train 2-3 hours a day, and I normally don't have my phone in me. So I think I did get a call from a 306 number. I didn't know who it was. But I think they did try to give me a call, but I didn't speak to anybody. And by the time the news was out, I had found out like how everybody else did.
So how do you take something like that then?
It's business to me. I didn't take it personal. I don't have any ill will towards anybody. Certain people do business a certain type of way, and that's just how they operate. And that's how I took it. I took it as that's just how they operate, and just move on to the next part of life.
Now, speaking of that, moving on, how easy was it for you to sign back in Calgary as a free agent?
It was very easy. I mean, the biggest known factor was they called me and asked me if I could come back. They wanted me back. They felt like I could be the same player that people had thought of me, aside from my season last season, and they felt like I could get back to that, being in that system, because they knew what type of player I was and they knew the type of player I am here in their system. So it was more like I told Murray McCormick, I told him the same thing. It was more of looking for a fit, where I wanted to go to a place where I felt like the coaches believed in me, the coaches trusted me, and they had faith in me, and they knew the type of player I was and what I was capable of, and wanted to work with me. So that was the biggest part of me looking into being a free agent again the second time around.
Now, you just got off the bye week. What did Bone Crusher do with his free time, and how is little Bone Crusher doing?
Bye week was great. It was nice to go home, see the family. My son is doing awesome, man. He's a monster, man. He's a big kid. He's already 2.5 feet or a little over, and 23 pounds, and he's only 10 months. So he's going to be a very big kid. And you know, I think for the team, you know, it was good. It was nice to catch a little break. You know, being 7-0 and giving your mind and your body a chance to rest and get away from football is always a good thing. And I think we're getting ready for another stretch before we get our next bye week.
We were actually just discussing this before we called you, so we got to get your take on it. Hypothetically okay. speaking, you're on death row. What do you pick for your last meal?
That's interesting. Well, at least for me, because there's a lot of things I like to eat. But I think, to be honest, I really don't know what I would ask for a last meal. I probably would ask for something that I've never eaten before. And probably I shouldn't be eating, because I'm allergic to shellfish, but I probably would ask. I figure if I'm going to die anyway, I might as well eat something I never
ate
before.
Might as well go for it, right?
Yeah, might as well go for it and see what happens. Maybe it'll take me out before I hit the chair.
I couldn't decide if I picked like my favorite meal or if I just go, pardon the expression, but I just go balls deep and just get like four bags of chips and a bunch of Slurpees and ice cream. Like, I don't know what's better.
I think that's probably be the smartest thing, to just indulge.
You know, right?
Go after things that you normally wouldn't eat or you've always wanted to try and never had the chance to. Or indulge in whatever your favorite your favorite vices are, and just taking that.
I could get with that.
Yeah.
So we got to ask you. You're going up against former teammate Charleston Hughes again this weekend. What's the smack talk on the line like between the two of you? Do you guys get going back and forth?
Honestly, last game I didn't even talk to Charleston at all. It was more like I feel like me and Charleston's debate is always like, it's like a big brother, little brother debate. Like, oh, I'm good at this and you can't stop me. And it's like, oh, well, I'm just as good as you and I can stop you type of thing. So it's like, I know he was smack talking with a bunch of other guys. I didn't even realize Charleston had a mic on the last game. So it's a good thing I probably didn't talk, because they probably would have got some really unfiltered messages coming from my side of things.
And who's the big brother and who's the little brother in that situation?
Charleston's for sure the big brother. I mean, the dude is 36 years old. He's been in this league since 2007, 2008. I'm the young buck. I'm going into maybe this is my third full season in the CFL. So I'm still a young buck. I'm still learning. I'm still getting the intricacies of everything. And Charleston's, he's the seasoned vet, man. It's not too many things that he hasn't seen in a football game or that he hasn't gone up against. So he's one of those guys that you always got to bring your A game. Or you always got to bring your A game to play Charleston, man, because he's a bona fide Hall of Famer.
And Derek, one more thing before we let you go. You got an open mic right now. Is there anything you want to say to Rider Nation at all?
I just wanted to say thank you to Rider Nation. I enjoyed my time there, even though it was brief. I definitely felt the love and I felt the excitement from a lot of people, and I was extremely excited to be a part of it, thinking I would be there for a couple years and be a part of it. And, to any of the disgruntled fans who felt like I was overpaid or underperforming last year, I apologize for not giving you your money's worth, man. But I hope you see what I was capable of now.
Derek, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Derek Dennis here on the Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy.